As I imagine you've probably heard me say before, my father was a career diplomat in our nation's State Department in the Foreign Service, and he really had a remarkable career. He started out in the late 1950s in Havana, Cuba, in the consulate, issuing visas to people who wanted to come to the United States. And he retired finally as the Assistant Secretary of State for all of Latin American affairs. He had a really remarkable career. His career took him and our family all over the world. We were in Central America, of course, started out in the Caribbean. We were also in Africa, too, in the Republic of South Africa. What you may not know about my father is that he was a lover of art. He loved art. He collected paintings and sculptures and pottery and textiles from all of the different countries that he worked in. But he also loved the artists, too, and befriended many of them and became lifelong friends with them. Now, I'm not an art collector, but I think that my father's interest and love for art has rubbed off on me. I enjoy paintings and sculptures and textiles and pottery and most other arts as well. One of the things, though, that really interests me about art in general is that when you look at a piece of art, I think it provides at least a partial window into the soul of the artist. So a painting, a sculpture, a piece of pottery, or maybe any piece of art, really, provides us then with a partial glimpse of what the artist's soul is like. You see this, I think, particularly in self-portraits. If you've ever looked at those, you see how the artist perceives him or herself. And so when you look at a piece of art, you can see the person's genius, their character, and some of their attributes through the objects that he or she creates. Now, I think that the same thing can be said about God. God's character and God's attributes are revealed through the things that God has made. And our text this morning from the Catechism, the longer version for us, asks the question, what is God? And answers, God is the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything. He is eternal, infinite, and unchangeable in his power and perfection, goodness and glory, wisdom, justice, and truth. Nothing happens except through him and by his will. The Catechism, then, affirms that God is the creator. But in the very next breath, if you noticed, it describes some of God's attributes, doesn't it? It tells us that God is eternal, infinite, and unchangeable in power, perfection, goodness, glory, wisdom, justice, and truth. So in and through creation, we get a glimpse of what God is like. Now, the psalmist that we just read this morning affirms something similar, I think. It affirms that God is the creator, but it also describes some of the central key attributes of what God is like. First of all, the psalmist affirms that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. And we see this as verses 8 and 10. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. And in verse 10, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. So God has created the world that we know. Borrowing this idea, we might think about our own times and our own context. We might think about the beauty of the earth or the glory of the skies, to borrow the language of the hymns. For me, when I watch some nature shows on PBS maybe or National Geographic Channel, I'm just overwhelmed by the splendor, the beauty of creation, and the incredible complexity of the biosphere that we live in. But we can think even beyond our own planet. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Hubble telescope has allowed us to see. It shows us the vastness of the universe that we live in. It's incredible. We can see stars being born and dying. We can see black holes swallowing up everything within their gravitational pull. We can see galaxies and solar systems and planets so numerous that it's impossible to count them. Indeed, what the psalmist says is right. There is none like you, O Lord, among the gods, nor are there any works like yours. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. The world that we see and experience bears powerful testimony to this. Through our planet, then, our solar system, our galaxy, and the universe, we can see God's creativity and power on full display. And it's truly marvelous if we stop to think about it. Indeed, God really is the creator and sustainer of all things. But you know what? There are other dimensions of God that you can't see quite as clearly from the world in which we find ourselves. Some of God's attributes can't really be seen through the works of God's hands. And so, just as the work of an artist only partially reveals their soul to us, so the works of God's hands only provide a partial picture to us of the divine self, of what God is really like. If you really want to know the creative genius behind a work of art, you have to get to know the artist, don't you? You have to take the time to cultivate that relationship. And so too with God. We must have a personal history with God if we are to know the divine self in greater fullness. This psalm that we just read gives us, I think, a verbal picture of a soul who's trying to do that, a soul who certainly has a personal history with God. I don't know if you noticed it, but the psalmist clearly understands his position in relationship to God. Numerous times, the psalmist prays and says, for instance, O Lord, answer me. Be gracious to me, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving. Give ear, O Lord. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? And on, this refrain, O Lord, appears again and again. And the psalmist knows clearly that the God with whom he has to deal with is not a generic God. This God is the Lord of all. And similarly, then, the psalmist understands himself, too. And so he refers to himself again and again as your servant. And at the end of the psalm, he says, save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor. So the psalmist understands his relationship to God. But more than that, more than these self-designations and these designations for God, the psalmist longs for God. He yearns for God's help. He longs to experience God's favor. He desires to really be totally dependent and devoted to God. And you see this, again, just to refresh our memories in the first couple of verses. Incline your ear to me, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you do I lift up my soul, O Lord. The psalm, then, seems to reflect a personal history with God that the psalmist has and draws upon as he seeks to know God more fully. And so, through that personal history, the psalmist discovers attributes of God that we can't see through the work of God's hands. And we see this particularly in verse 5 and verse 15. The psalmist is praying, but he is praying to a particular God that he has experienced. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. And in verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, You can't discover that about God simply from looking at the world in which we live. It only comes as a result of a personal relationship, an experience, a personal history with God. The psalmist describes for us the God of covenant love and faithfulness, the God that we meet over and over again in the story of the Bible. Remember God covenant with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God covenanted with Noah and his family after the great flood, with Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. God covenanted with Israel on Mount Sinai, with King David and his house forever, and with all of humanity, finally, through the new covenant that he establishes through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is not only the all-powerful creator who makes and sustains everything that is, God is also the God of covenant faithfulness that we can depend on, that we can know and experience. The Catechism and the Psalm invite us to stand in awe of God, the maker and sustainer of all things. We can certainly say with the psalmist, can't we? There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. We can say that because we believe it and have experienced. But the Catechism and the Psalm also invite us to have a personal history with God in which we can experience this covenant faithfulness that the Psalm also describes. We can know God more deeply. This God who is good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love, this God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithfulness towards his creatures. Brothers and sisters, you can gain a glimpse of an artist's soul through the works of his or her hands, but in order to really know them, to know their character, you have to enter into a personal relationship with them. You have to get to know them personally. We can see the Creator, the great artist, if you will, in creation, but we can only know God's steadfast love through a personal history with God. So I would say to you in closing, let us seek God like the psalmist. God is our Lord, and we are God's servants. And let us pray to this great and gracious God every day with the beautiful words of the psalmist, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy holy name." May the Lord help us to know him, not only in creation, but also in his covenant faithfulness. Amen.